don't pretend it ain't you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Gesundheit with Jacobus. I appreciate you tuning in today. Danielle Agnew, a psychic medium. No, she says, don't use those together. No mocha latte. Okay, so she is a clairvoyant. She is somebody who has a gift of hearing frequencies of angels. She is therefore able to get guidance in work that she is doing and that she has expanded into, not just in her own life, but also helping others see things they otherwise don't see. And so because of that, that is an amazing gift. And we have, and she has therefore worked in media. She is working, we'll talk about it more, in programs dealing with missing people, children that have been gone for a long time. She's able to remote view. She's able to connect and discover and find and therefore give peace to those who are left behind. These are important things, and she is very good in what she does, and she has that gift we just talked about a little bit earlier. We also have Sahara Devi with us, a well-known person in this town who has been on the show. Today is your eighth time on my show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I said the same thing. Oh, my goodness. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I played a little song about fear and scared, and that was one thing that we want to jump on. That's one thing we want to talk about, fear. What do you mean with fear consciousness? Is there a problem?
Well, you know, Sahara and I talk a lot about this, and yeah. Fear consciousness, just from my perspective, and I'll throw it to you, Sahara, from my perspective, fear consciousness is what we have been trained to operate under. Because it's, in my opinion, it's part of how we sell things in America. Oh. So if I want to sell you insurance, I need to make you afraid you're going to die and leave your family with nothing. If I'm going to sell you a $900 purse, I need to make you afraid that you're not good enough without that $900 purse. And those are two really shallow examples. I mean, it runs deep. Fear is biological. We're afraid because of our DNA says don't go pet a bear because 9 million people before us were eaten by a bear. Mm-hmm. So we have psychological fear and we have biological fear. And for me in this conversation personally, I would focus on the psychological aspect of fear, where fear consciousness is a lens that we see the whole world in this fearful way. Mm-hmm. Ooh, those people are different from me. They could hurt me. Or, it's a lack or limitation consciousness. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I could die on the street. You could call it worst case scenario. Yeah. And in this fear consciousness, it's my observation. It's an energy that I can actually physically see around people. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It looks like a weird barbed wire fence made of brown barbed wire. It's icky. And that fear consciousness is not necessarily conducive to our health, our wellness, our growth. You know, right? I mean, it's
not necessarily. It's way beyond not necessarily conducive.
That's true.
Obviously, this was, but it's antithetical to those things.
Yes.
And the fact is that if you look at our media and our politicians, we're not really bringing politics in here, but we are programmed. Mm-hmm. We are programmed. Yeah, yeah. To live in fear, which is a contracted energy. Fear is a contracted, limiting energy, which keeps people in line.
Yeah, crowd control.
Okay, and that's the whole point of it. It's just like, we just want you to stay between these lines to serve the purpose of our economy, what have you, because those of us who escape from or make the conscious choice to deliberately remove ourselves from that programming, we aren't part of their system. We exist outside of their system, and we are bringing in that which is going to inspire others to break out of the system and experience themselves in the expanded and elevated way that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to just to add to your point, which is excellent, when you talk about they or the system, you know, talking about how we've been conditioned, and I'll only speak, you know, I was raised in America, so I'll speak here about being American, yet the system that we are conditioned under mm-hmm. is heavily dependent on us collectively believing certain things, yeah. the us against them.
Yes.
You know, and that's exactly what you're talking about. So when we speak on fear consciousness, what we speak on is, do we as a collective society wish to live constantly in fear, mm-hmm. which has been shown medically to degrade health? It ruins the endocrine system. It blows out the adrenals. It will stress out your heart. It literally will mm-hmm. eat your liver, which is the organ in the body that stores anger and fear, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but think about this, gang. If your liver's getting eaten up out of fear, then I go and I get lots of heavy pharmaceuticals to fix my liver. So again, I'm not blaming pharmaceutical companies, of course, yet I'm simply saying that we have a system in place here in the United States that I believe, it's my opinion and my observation, that it has been put into place to literally capitalize on us trying to not be afraid. And, you know, the work that I do, the work that Sahara does, Jacobus, you know, the work that you do here in mm-hmm. educating people then lifts the fear lens up, because we get the opportunity to actually attach people to different truths, modalities of thinking, mm-hmm. Avenues if they choose to go down them for health and wellness, and even the lens for perspective of the way you live your life. These are simply suggestions.
Sure, sure.
Even the idea that you have to get a job and work 9 to 5, 40 hours a week in order to support yourself, and going back, that you have to attend a college or university
yeah.
in order to qualify for something that is going to enable you to support yourself
right.
and or
right.
a family. This is all a way of limiting people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Limiting people, because there are endless ways that individuals
you bet.
Can
yeah.
support themselves
yeah.
and
if there's Absolutely. A will, there's a way.
Yes, yes.
You know, and we're being told that you don't really have that will.
Yes.
Follow our steps and you'll get where
yes,
you need to be.
Yes.
But that's not, doesn't bring happiness or doesn't bring.
And it's not working
no.
because you see stories all over the place about people that have invested their hundreds of thousands of dollars in university, come out the other end, they can't get a job in their
right.
field.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're either on the street or they're working some kind of minimum wage thing.
Yeah, and then you have fear that you can't pay back
your student loans,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So
it's insidious. It's insidious.
Just want to let you know, Danielle, that a text message says, just sending Danielle some love from the Windy City.
Oh, from the Windy City. I bet that's Wendy from the Windy City in Chicago. Hi, girl. Thank you. Sending you love right back, sister. Thanks for listening.
That's great. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding on while we were talking. What's your name? How can we help you, please?
Danielle Daniel.
All right.
Yeah. Danielle, comma, Daniel.
Okay.
Okay,
I got it.
Daniel.
I'm getting it. That's awesome.
All right. Now, Sahara and I had a strange experience together. We were meeting with a man who was gung-ho about a guru that unexpectedly committed suicide. Now, so many people, especially in Montana, are committing suicide. Could you give us some insight into the lure of suicide? Does it have some value to the soul? Although it would seem that the person is overriding a higher order of the universal law that says, thou shalt not kill.
I see.
That's
well,
not
that's
a higher law.
Sorry, I love you. Daniel, first of all, thanks for an amazing question, okay? And I will tell you my observations from working with the angelic kingdom regarding what we consider a deep tragedy, which is suicide. You know, when I encounter souls on the other side, when they come out of their body, and maybe I have a family member that comes to me and they want to speak to their mother, their father, their son, whomever committed suicide. And, you know, we left here on earth are devastated by this because mm-hmm. we give such massive value to life, as we should. I mean, it's a great gift, right? When I get an opportunity to visit with the people who have chosen this modality, it's fascinating when I listen to them and they actually enable me. They download me with their experience right before they take their own life. And what I get the opportunity to feel is a weight of hopelessness that most of us don't really understand the weight to that point. I mean, when you get to that point to where it's better to be dead than to simply deal with whatever awful thing is happening in your life, that weight of hopelessness is a point to literally breaking that person's capacity to continue to deal with what they've been dealt with in their life. It literally overloads. Like you think of a weight limit, Daniel, right on a truck bed. And it says you can't put more than, you know, 4 tons on this or you'll break the axles. You know, that person's carrying 6 tons and those axles are snapping. So when we talk about what would cause a person to take their life, it is a lens that I have seen that comes to me through these people who've passed on and they've shared that lens with me of their lens is utterly hopeless. It's like if somebody stuck you in front of a corner 2 inches from it and painted the corner black, and that's the only thing that you're looking at. So most of us don't, I mean, we can have really horrible times. We can be down in the dumps. We can think about, many of us think about killing ourselves, you know. We have those dark nights of the soul. However, it's not been my experience, Daniel, that it disrupts a natural order or a spiritual order. It certainly disrupts people's lives. It breaks people's hearts. Yet what has been brought to me in this, especially dealing with these folks, angels who have crossed over, is that many times the people who have taken their lives, when I look forward into their life path, and I get the opportunity to see more than one life path for an individual, Daniel, because we don't just have one big fat future. That would take out free will. That would take out the whole purpose of being here on earth. And when I have that opportunity to look down these people's time, I call them timelines, oftentimes I don't see that these individuals have a timeline that represents them being here 95 years or 85 years. You know, these are souls that are generally coming in who are very sensitive. Oftentimes they're very old souls, okay? And they come in and they experience what they're experiencing. And as they leave this plane of existence, it leaves ripples like a ripple in a pond. And there is a lot of learning that happens as they leave. And so it's not necessarily to say that, you know, well, they were meant to kill themselves or they were destined. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in the great mystery that is our existence on this planet, it's been shown to me that the levels of learning and literally the levels of understanding sometimes are way out of my pay grade. Everything is a braid, and it braids in with one another. And I would tell people, if you're out there listening right now and you're considering suicide, you know, before you allow that black corner to come up on you and feel like you're staring 2 inches away and you have zero ways to get out of this, that weight that you're feeling right now, that unbelievable crushing weight of limitation and fear and depression, I want to acknowledge for you that that weight is a real thing, and I am so sorry that you are feeling that. And I would implore you to push through that, to at least text somebody or make a call, because the one thing, the one crowbar that can get under that heavy, oppressive stone crushing you right now that could loosen it from the mud of the despair that you're in is connection. That's honestly the one crowbar that I've seen that works. If there's anybody at all that you can reach out to. And, you know, Daniel, that's the best answer I can possibly give you. Suicide is tragic. And we in the United States, as Sahara was saying, are experiencing an epidemic number of it because of this fear consciousness that we've been discussing on the show today. And just remember that that is a lens. It is a perception. And it doesn't take away from the feeling of the weight of oppression. Yet if we can just remember that that is a lens in that moment, it's a snapshot, it's a weather pattern, and it's going to blow through, that may help those who are struggling.
I have a question that's 10 times harder than that one. I've been a pretty ardent anti-abortionist, but shall we say psychic, that said that sometimes souls want to back out. Sometimes they choose from their side to back out, spontaneous abortion or something, and we really shouldn't be stabbing them and hurting them from this side. What do you say about boarding the mission of children that are trying to get into the world?
Boy, well, I think it's there are many ways that needs to be looked at. This is Sahara. And one thing I would like to ask Danielle about this is, because I had heard at one point that the soul doesn't actually enter the fetus for a period of time. So in the early stages, the soul isn't even there. And if that's so, then the mother, the conduit for that being, gets to have a choice of what's going on in their life and how appropriate it is at that time for them to become a mother, because women get pregnant under many different circumstances. And I don't think it's anybody's business to judge what a woman does with their body. But what do you have to say, Danielle, about, do you know when the soul comes into the fetus?
You know, what's interesting is there is a, I guess you could call it like a hookup pattern. You know, like when you hook cable up to your house and all of a sudden your TV pops on and you know, when those cells are dividing, and Daniel, you know, obviously life is precious. It's a precious thing. It's a precious gift. And when those cells are dividing in the womb, and pretty soon they're dividing enough to be a blob, and pretty soon they're dividing enough to have a little heartbeat and whatever, it's been my observation, and this is simply my observation, and this in 285 will get you a cup of coffee at a gas station. Yeah. However, you know, that's the truth. Yeah. Yet my observation here has been that once the electromagnetic relay starts to work in that little lump of flesh, once the heart starts pumping, once the brain starts forming, the spinal column starts coming up, once there is somewhere for the energy of the spirit to latch onto the flesh, that's kind of where that little soul starts hooking in. And, you know, it's interesting, Daniel, because on my dad's side of the family, they are all licensed psychotherapist, and my father is married to a medical doctor, and she's wonderful. And so I get an opportunity to talk a lot of science and medicine with people, which I think is equally as important as the spirit. Mm-hmm. And what I've noted, Daniel, is that there are tons of surveys and all kinds of documentations out there. When we die, up to 3 ounces of matter leaves the body. And I mean, we're talking, Daniel, we're talking a bed that is like, they're accounting for every ounce of the sheets and the pillows, and they've got a person on it, and the whole thing is set up to actually, you know, literally track the weight. Up to 3 ounces leaves the body. So we can call that electrical 3 ounces. That's electromagnetic, and the scientific field has felt an electromagnetic field rise up out of the body. Up to 3 ounces leaves. So we can call that the soul, for instance, okay? Yeah. So if we're thinking about that on the principle of we have 2 electromagnetic organs in the body, we've got the heart and we've got the brain, and we are electromagnetically generated, and science has no clue why we have this electricity in our body, except it leaves when we die. So if we were to follow the supposition that the soul was in part electromagnetic, then what I've noticed with fetuses or little beady babies, is that once the soul has a way to link in or engage with the flesh through an electromagnetic relay, which would be the heart of the brain, or even sometimes the spinal column, that's when the soul kind of, you know, it's like a screwdriver. You know, it screws itself in. It says, okay, I've got my anchor point. I know what I can, the flesh can hold me. The flesh can take me. And in answer to your question about souls who may be aborted or whatnot. It's been my observation in working with some of these mamas, a lot of times those babies come back around for those mamas. You know, it's just not the right time for them. And it's kind of like landing a plane on a runway. You know, have you ever, Daniel, if you've ever tried to land in, you know, Denver, and you got these horrible crosswinds, and here you're getting ready to land, and all of a sudden you're, you know, 10 feet from the runway, and all of a sudden those engines roar, and you go flying back up, and the captain comes on and says, "We are sorry, ladies and gentlemen, the crosswinds were too severe. We're going to take a ride around Denver, and we'll be landing shortly." So a lot of times those babies, it just wasn't their time yet, but they do tend to come around for that mama at a later time. And now, as far as why that happens, Daniel, that is squarely out of my pay grade. You will have to consult my good buddy God for that one.
Thanks, Daniel.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. So fear. Fear is a big issue that, indeed, as you mentioned, just simply talking about insurance companies, that is one thing that they try to sell you. You know, if anything happens to you, and trust me, the odds are against you, you might as well get some insurance that if that happens, that you're protected. And that is indeed, when you buy something new these days, they right away try to sell you some insurance with it so that you pay an extra so many $100 a year so that you, if the machine breaks, you get protection. Fear is big, and I think it is indeed a controlling energy that not just controls us in our daily living, but it is a way to control other people as well. And I think that the media today is very busy trying to give you this idea, this false sense of what is right or what is not right, but make you doubt the reality and not giving people a chance almost to think for themselves anymore. But literally say, this is what you need to think. And then if you, once you grab onto that concept, you're going to be stuck because you don't know anymore how to get out of that feeling of fear.
So that's what we'll talk about in the next segment, is how we move out of fear and liberate ourselves.
Correct. Great point. All right. Danielle Agnew and Sahara Devi, guests on Gesundheit with Jacobus this morning. We are going to take a break for the news. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Almost as good as a protein shake in the morning. This is Gesundheit with Jacobus.